our day, I think we're asking, you know, if I take this opportunity here, if I take this opportunity, am I giving up a better opportunity that's coming later? I think that's a huge struggle for us in our era, in this age and day, is if I take this opportunity because there's 100 more coming down the line, am I missing out on that one? And another one that I think fathers and mothers are asking is when this opportunity for service comes, because they're coming pretty hot and heavy, right? You're driving into Arby's and you're seeing that person outside Arby's with that cardboard sign, or outside Zaxby's with that cardboard sign, you know, asking for money. And you're going, all right, is this the teachable moment? Is this that teachable moment that God has set aside for me and my family? And if it is this about generosity, or is it about wisdom? Am I trying to teach my kids how to be generous with what God's provided for us? Or do I need to teach my kids how to discern between somebody who's trying to pull one over on us for a few dollars? And so we're all asking these same questions. I think as students, you're asking questions like that as well. And so one reason I think that the answer to those questions is really, really important is because what we said just a minute ago, that if we are truly going to be the image of God in our community, we have to be the heart of God. And here's what that hinges on. Here's why you need to really think about that. I think you need to think about that because the majority of arguments against God aren't really against God. They're against God's people, aren't they? The big problems that most people have with our God are with the miniature images of God who walk the streets on a daily basis. It's what the images of God complain about. It's what the images of God withhold. It's what the images of God do to other images of God that cause people to doubt God. So our arguments with God are most often arguments with God's people and not with God himself. And so we're going to deal with those three questions over the next few weeks. Is there enough provision? Is there enough opportunity? And is there enough forgiveness? And today I want us to think about the provision question. It's not just money, it's the things that we have also. And so I've got some really good news, and I've got some really bad news for you that I want to share. All right, and the good news is that Jesus has an awful lot to say about this question. When we go to the Bible, and we go to the Lord, and we ask that question, is there enough provision for me to do all the things that you've called me to do and live this life? Jesus has a ton to say about that. And I think it's important that we look at what Jesus says, because last week we said that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. So if we want to look at what it would be like for God to live on earth, all we have to do is look at the recorded history of the way Jesus lived his life. And we see it. And don't you think it's a really neat thing that God created man in his own image? And then he created himself in man's image just so that we could see what we should be. And that's what he gives us. And so that is the good news. The bad news is that, well, when we start looking at what Jesus talked about, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. You can open up your Bible there if you want to. That's where we're going to spend all of our time as far as in Scripture. The bad news is that when we actually do that and start looking at the way Jesus lived his life and some of the teachings of Jesus, and that question was asked of Jesus, I think his answer is potentially more worrisome than we would expect. So enough about that. Are you ready for the bad news? I think we're ready. This is what Jesus said with reply to this question. Verse 22, I tell you what, don't worry. Jesus, I'm really worried about whether there is enough. To which Jesus said, you know what, don't worry about it. No don't worry about it. You ever had that kind of conversation with your mom or dad or with your boss or with your husband or wife? And you're like, man, I'm really concerned about this. And they're like, shh, no big deal. No big deal. Don't worry about it. It makes you want to pull out your old Bob Marley records, right? And turn on the Jamaican music, right? And just sit back. Don't worry about a thing, right? I mean, it just makes you like, Jesus, this is what you've got for me. Don't worry. Even better than don't worry, he gives us this. I think, it's coming up. Don't worry. Just look at the ravens and how God provides for them. Don't just look at the ravens. Look at the lilies of the field. I'll tell you what, we'll read it starting in verse 22 of Luke chapter 12. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll put on. For life's more than food, and the body's more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Don't seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need him. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will follow along. These things will follow along. So Jesus' answer to our question of is there enough is A, don't worry, and B, take a minute and observe creation. Step back, take a deep breath, and let's think about how the world works. Let's think about how the world works. And you may be like, well, that's good enough for you, but I see dead birds on the side of the road from time to time, right? Life doesn't always seem to work that way, Lord. I'm still worried. And Jesus would then say to us, you have not yet truly learned about me. So I think it is a call to think about the way that God works. On the surface, you can read that scripture that says, don't worry, and you can go, Lord, that is too easy. And he would say, yeah, I know. I know it's too easy, and you're not thinking about it hard enough. What I'd really like for you to do is sit back and ponder. Because you ask questions and you want immediate answers. But if you come to me with questions, I want to plant truth into your heart. And in order for something to be planted in your heart, then something else has to be dug up. Some soil has to be tilled. Then you need to be prepared to really think instead of just get your answer and go out the door. You're going to have to be willing to do some work if you want your life changed. And then he throws this zinger at us at the end of that section. Go sell your possessions and give to the poor. So not only is it don't worry, not only is it let's look at creation and nature, it's based on what you've seen, now have less than you had before. Now be willing to have less than you had before and act out in that faith. Now, if you're a Bible scholar, maybe you've sat back and said, well, Paul, you didn't necessarily highlight the beginning of verse 22 because, you know, Jesus is, is saying these words to his disciples. This is a to the disciple teaching. If you were to turn back to the beginning of verse 12, you'll see that there are thousands of people clamoring to hear from Jesus in this moment. And one of the things that happens as they're clamoring to hear from Jesus is this one dude throws up his hand. Ooh, Lord, 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 make my brother share his inheritance with me. I want you to make him share his inheritance with me. And Jesus goes, let me just share with you a story. And he tells this wonderful story about a man who has an amazing harvest one year. And the man wants to build bigger barns, right? To store all that he's raised. And at the end of it, the man dies as he's contemplating building bigger barns. And there's this moment in it that really stuck out to me as I read the story where it says the man said to his soul. He said to his soul, like to his inner being, speaking to his inner being, that place in the gut that makes you feel. He says, you know what? We've got enough. We've got enough to last us several years. We've got enough to where we won't have to trust God. His goal was to provide for himself in a way that he did not have to trust anybody but himself. And he felt like he had reached it. And historically, the Jewish teaching was, hey, when you walk through a field and you harvest your items, you leave the stuff that you miss for the poor to come through. The Jewish teaching would have been, sir, if you have filled your barn full of grain, then you give the rest away, because you've been provided for. The historical reference would have been manna falling to God's people on a daily basis, except for one day in which they were supposed to gather enough for 2 days on one day so that they could learn that God is constantly providing for his people. It would have been the Garden of Eden and the abundance that was issued to them there. It would have been the way that even in slavery, Israel was taken care of and given all that they were needed, that they had needed. It would have taught them this truth, that the place that you, when you get to the place where you see that God's hands are open and not closed, then your hands can be open as well. So what I want to take you through is a little bit of that meditation about the birds and the lilies of the field. I want to give you a couple of questions that I think will help us think through this, and maybe it will help us not to worry, okay? So the first question is, how many of you here in church, did it come up? Yes. How many of you here in church are currently naked or dead? All right, that's a dumb question. Let's get serious. No, you have clothing. You're still breathing. You've probably been through some difficult times in your life. You've probably been through some times in your life where you've wondered how ends are going to be met and where that next piece of bread is going to come from. And if you haven't, you will. You will. And so it's helpful to remember that you're still here and you're still thriving. You're still thriving. How many of you had no help at all getting to the place where you are in life? You were raised by wolves, right? You taught yourself the English language. Nobody ever vouched for you for a job. You weren't carried to school. Nobody drove you. You had no bus driver. You crawled to school at first, and then you walked to school, and then maybe you ran. You learned to work out and learned how to exercise on your own. You learned about healthy, balanced diets on your own. You built your own bed. A lot of us would like to say we've overcome so much adversity. We've done all these things on our own. And if we're honest, none of us have done any of these things on our own. And every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. How many of you look at the people that you care about, even your pets, all right, your children, your husband or wife, your parents, and you say, you know what? Let them starve. Let them just die. Some of you may have killed a goldfish, and if you have, shame on you. But think about that for a second. Isn't that the teaching of Jesus? What even worldly person would give their child a snake instead of a piece of bread, right? Doesn't Jesus teach us to ask that question of life? And then think about the history of God. Think about the Garden of Eden. Think about Israelites carried through captivity and into a promised land. Think about the provision of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. God is constantly providing for us. And why do we believe that he's going to do any different? Here's another reason that it's so important for us to think about that. I want you to think about a time when you were a kid. Some of you don't have to think back very far. Some of you maybe a little further. But there was probably a time in your life, I think anybody never chewed gum? Okay, so we've all chewed gum. I think there was probably a time in your life where you had more gum than you needed. You know, you get the quarter packs from, or 35-cent pack, the inflation's killing us, from Walmart, you know, five sticks of gum, and we would get the plenty packs. My wife has a treasure trove of gum. It's not unlike what you see up there on the screen, but when you think about this, how likely are you to share what you have when what you have is extravagant? If you looked at your stash and you thought there's more than I can ever use available to me, how likely are you to share what you have? This is why Jesus' teaching is so important, y'all. It's because when we get to the place that we realize that there is enough, then we're finally able to be generous. All right, and some of you may have scrunched your eyebrows together and thought, well, where's the wisdom there? I can't just give away everything that I have. God's not calling you to be foolish and not think through the things that you're choosing to do. God's not calling you to not have any financial goals whatsoever. He's calling you to trust that when you do the work, He'll provide for you. And not only will he provide for you, he'll provide through you. God will provide through you so that as the image of God, people will genuinely see the love of God. Because in Jesus' teaching, he knew that farmer had a different God. That farmer's God was grain. That's where that farmer's comfort came from. It came from the amount of grain in the bin than the one who set up the natural laws that allowed grain to grow. And we dare not make our stuff our God. He wanted his followers and the people around him to know that the way that they handled their possessions was directly influenced by their heart. And you can say, oh, I'm just being wise here, or I'm being smart here. But you dare not say that until you've measured your heart. There are some things we have to say no to. There are some things we should say no to. But I guarantee you, we say no to more things that we should say yes to than we say yes to things that we should say no to as followers of Jesus. So I want to give you some ways that you can do this in a way that is practical. I think it would be really, really helpful for us to think through these things and determine our yeses before the opportunities come. So I want to give you some ways to do that. Number one, just go to a gas station or go to Walmart or Kroger and buy, you know, $50 if you've got that kind of money. I don't know how everybody's rolling, right? So buy some gift cards. And keep those gift cards in your wallet. And that way you don't have to go, I'm not going to hand that guy cash or that woman cash because I don't know what she's going to do with it. If it's a Shell card, you have an idea of what they're going to do with it. Right? Not that you can abuse anything. Take the person you see on the street into the diner. When you pull into Zaxby's and there's a lady sitting on the grass with a cardboard sign saying, I need food, or I love you, or this is that, and you and your daughter and your son are walking into Zaxby's, or you and your girlfriend are walking into Zaxby's, you go meet that person and say, hey, can I buy you dinner? And if they're not hungry, they'll tell you. But that's an opportunity that you have to sit with somebody and talk to them about the Lord. Go ahead and think through the conversations that you'll have with other people. Commit to donate and sell those things that you don't use. I need to get rid of my wall of shame. And it could become a wall of fame. It could become something wonderful. Instead of becoming a testament and monument to my poor choices. And then finally, decide whether or not your story will be more like the rich young ruler's or the widow's mite. The beauty in the story of the widow's mite is not that she was poor and gave money. It was that she completely trusted God as a provider. She believed that God's hands were open and not closed. That's the beauty of that story. She believed with all her heart that God's hands were open and not closed, and that's why she was able to do that thing, because Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Whatever it is you treasure, that's where your heart is. And if we're going to be the image of God, we have to have the heart of God, or else we're imaging a false God. Think about what would happen in this world if just this church lived like that on a day-to-day basis. If this church lived like that on a day-to-day basis, what kind of difference could we make in our city? What kind of needs would continue to exist just in this body if we were all on the lookout for the opportunities of God? You might think, well, people will take it for granted. They'll just go, well, God's going to give me more, so I'm just going to be foolish. I'll go, instead of going to McDonald's, I'll go to Harvey's because God's got more for me. If that's the attitude, they're missing the teachings of Jesus. They're missing the teachings of Jesus. But if we hold on to it, we won't take it for granted. We'll take it to the world. So we have an invitation for you as we prepare to sing this song. Maybe that's not the God that you've seen in your life. Maybe you have those questions in mind. You know, is there enough provision? Is there enough opportunity for me? Is there still time for me left? Is there enough forgiveness? And in all those questions, the answer is yes. Yes. And if you need to give your life to Jesus, we invite you to do so. Be immersed in the waters of baptism and have those sins washed away. And if you need to be reminded that within, with God, all things are possible and you need prayer, we invite you to come and pray as together we stand and we sing.